Hello there.
This is Gary. How do you pronounce your name?
This is Gary. Are you the guy that's been texting me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My name is Tupos.
Tupos. I see you got a Wisconsin number. Do you live in Wisconsin?
No. I used to a long time ago.
Okay, because I'm in Minnesota.
Yeah. So how did you find out about us, Gary?
I found out about you because I watch a lot of YouTube channels, and I was watching Travis. You probably know Travis. And he actually has your number, and he put it up there. So I watched some of your stuff on your website, and I like to talk to people, you know, about the Bible and exactly, you know, what are their thoughts on a lot of different things. So I like talking to people.
So are you with the Church of Christ?
You know, the thing is, when I obeyed the gospel, the Lord, it says in Acts 2:47, the Lord added me to his church.
Yeah, wait, you didn't, I understand that. That's in Acts 2. You didn't answer my question. Are you with
the church? I'm a member of the Church of Christ.
Yes, okay. That's what I wanted to know. Okay. Up in Minnesota, which one?
Well, my wife and I, when we take the seed, the word of God, and you plant that in a penitent's heart, the only thing that seed is going to produce is a Christian. So my wife and I, with a few other people, we planted the Lord's church up here by Duluth. There's 10 of us. There's 10 of us. See, you can plant that seed anywhere and it's going to produce a Christian. And we are not a denomination because I don't know what the definition of a denomination is, but we do not fit the definition of a denomination. Because every Church of Christ is independent and they're not completely. Only thing we try to follow is the Bible.
Let me just correct you on something. The Baptists say that too.
Well, the Baptists are broke into how many different groups? But the Baptist church.
Wait a minute. You don't believe that there's a whole bunch of people that believe different things that are part of what they call the Church of Christ? Oh, that's absolutely true. I've met them all over the country.
Well.
So that's why we consider it still a denomination, because it doesn't matter if you're autonomous or not. You get these non-denominational places, and they still function, and they do all the things just like a denominational place, and they just remove a name or something like that. But where we really need to start before we even talk about Church of Christ or anything like that, and I don't know how much time you have right now, but we need to start at what is the gospel to eternal life, the path by which every man, every person must take to gain eternal life. Maybe you want to share that with me and be detailed. Pretend like I'm a drunk in the gutter and I don't know nothing. What?
Well, first of all, I would tell you the bad news. I would tell you that once I don't think the Bible teaches that a baby is born with original sin, but once we get to a certain point in our lives, we're going to sin, and that's going to separate us from God. In Isaiah 59:1-2, your iniquities have separated you from God. Romans 3 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory. So we are separated. We are lost in our sins. So we have to do something to solve our sin problem. Okay? Now, Jesus has provided grace for us. It was an act of grace. In Philippians 2, he lowered himself and came down here and became a man. And he was God. He was all man and all God. He lived a perfect life. And showed that he was God by the miracles he did. And then he went to the cross, and he died for the sins of the world. And his blood was shed, you know, for everyone. And it says in Titus, grace has appeared to all men. So Jesus wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so the first thing that we have to do is that we have to hear. We have to hear the gospel. The gospel is, the whole Bible is about Jesus. And the gospel is about Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the source of salvation. In Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no other name given under heaven in which we must be saved. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus did his part of grace. And then when he went to the cross and died, before he went back to heaven, he gave the Great Commission.
Hey, before you go on, I meant to tell you when you started, I am making an audio. I always make audios for ministry calls, so I should have told you that at the beginning. If you have a problem with that, I guess you can hang the phone up, but I should have told you at the beginning. I do make audios for safety reasons, just so you know, okay?
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead on the gospel. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to say that.
Okay, yeah, so Jesus died, you know, died on the cross. He died for everybody. And so Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said, go out in the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Whoever believes and, you know, and is baptized will be saved. He says, all authority, Matthew 28 says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. After you teach, you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the gospel is the power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. So, and the heart of the gospel, it involves everything about Jesus. But the heart of the gospel is talked about in 1 Corinthians 1:15, and this gospel does save you. It's the death, burial, resurrection from the dead. And Paul said in that same chapter, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, my preaching is in vain. Now, so where does Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and he rewards those that diligently seek him. So we hear that we have to hear the gospel. Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the word of God. So we hear the gospel, and then we have to believe it. Jesus says, if you don't believe who I am, you're going to die in your sins. So we have to believe that, but we're not saved by belief alone, because Jesus said in Luke 13:3-6, if you don't repent, you'll perish. And repent means a metanoia, a change of mind, which results in a change of behavior. Jesus also said that we have to confess him. We don't confess our sins to become a Christian. We confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And even in Romans 10, we make that good confession unto salvation. But then Jesus also said in that Great Commission, he said that he could talk about anything before he left this earth, before he ascended into heaven. But he said in Mark 16, he says, go preach that gospel to every living creature. Whoever believes that gospel and is baptized, that's a conjunction and, they're connected together. You can't separate them. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever disbelieves will be condemned. And so that's what Peter preached on the first gospel sermon. You know, in the Luke account, he said repentance and remission of sins will be preached in Jerusalem. The apostles went there, and they waited for the power from on high. The Holy Spirit came out of them. They spoke in languages. Peter stood up with the 11 and gave the first gospel sermon. And in Acts 2:21, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, these Jews had come from all over the world, and now they're wondering, well, how do you call on the name of the Lord to be saved? And then he preached the first gospel sermon where he talked about Jesus and the miracles he did. And then he got down to 36, and he said, now let the house of Israel surely know that this man whom you crucified, God made Lord in Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Right there, godly sorrow produces repentance. They believed now in Jesus, and they felt sorry because they had just killed the Messiah. And they asked Peter, what do we do? And in a few verses before that, I'm sure it was on their mind, Peter, how do we call the name of the Lord? Peter told them they had to repent and be baptized. There's that and conjunction. Whatever repentance is for, baptism is for. That's water immersion. And he says, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Lord Jesus. What for, Peter? For the remission of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And those that gladly received those words were baptized, and 3,000 are added to their number. So that's what I preach. I preach the same thing. If Peter can preach that, I preach the same thing. And all the way through the book of Acts, it's the same gospel message. It starts with belief. It might not always mention repentance or confession, but every one of them ends in baptism. And it was a sense of urgency to do it. Because even Paul, when he got saved, he had done the other steps there. When Ananias got there, Jesus told him, on the road to Damascus, go to Damascus, you'll be told what you must do. And the must-do when Ananias got there, who was inspired, he says, Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise now and be baptized. and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. It's your baptism, where you're appealing to God that he's going to wash away your sins in the waters of baptism. We do not believe there's anything special about the water. And it's
let me stop you. So there's the gospel. I'm right with you on who Christ was. I'm with you on the death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood. I'm with you on repentance, though we would have to discuss at more length what true repentance is, but let's just leave that right there for now. I can't recall. You said a lot. Hold on.
Trying to give you a scripture, because when we speak, we're supposed to speak the oracles.
Hold on. I don't recall you mentioned being born again.
Absolutely. You got to be born again. Nicodemus came to him at night.
But hold on. You didn't mention that. You skipped right over that, and you said that's the gospel. And the good news is what Christ did. Here's where a lot of people have it very wrong. And maybe this will help you. A lot of people have this very wrong. The gospel means good news, no doubt. The good news is the foundation, Christ the cornerstone, Ephesians 2, of his perfect life, his death and shed blood, his resurrection to defeat death. That is the gospel. But you know what hardly anybody ever talks about, and including you did a little bit, but you didn't really go much further. You know what hardly anybody talks about, Gary?
Can you back up and repeat what you said there?
You know, what people very rarely, they talk about the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did, but people hardly ever talk about this. Ready? How do you apply it to your life? See, if you're bleeding to death, you cut your main artery in your leg, and somebody hands you a tourniquet, that's good news. You got a tourniquet. What do you got to do with the tourniquet, Gary, to save your life?
Well, I got to put it on.
You got to apply it. So by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you did mention repentance. We'll talk about more about that sometime, or if you want to, we can do it today. And then we did get to, you didn't mention it, but we brought up you must be born again by the Spirit of God, and that's when the Holy Spirit enters you. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him, Acts 5. But now I'm going to ask you a question. So now you've placed your faith in Christ. You've repented, changed your mind. Let's say you've been baptized in the water and you get the Holy Spirit. Now what must happen, Gary?
Once I'm a Christian?
Once you're a Christian, what must happen for you to gain eternal life? You're not done yet.
I have to remain faithful.
There you go. So now you have to walk in holiness.
I have to endure to the end.
Yep, you have to walk in holiness and obedience first. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:9, Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him.
I absolutely agree with obedience.
And Acts 5:31 says, I think it's 31, says God gave the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So this is the gospel, and then how to apply it completely. By the shed blood of Jesus and resurrection, by repentance you come to him. You must be born again. Obedience, which would include water baptism. I teach water baptism. Obedience, but in all things. This is where you and I would probably greatly differ. In obedience and holiness, without holiness, Hebrews 12, no one will see God. And then, of course, you mention it, and I think most Church of Christ people believe this. You must endure in a saving faith. We're not Calvinistic, meaning once saved, always saved. But I find that's a grave, grave problem, whether it's Calvin, Church of Christ, Calvinist, non-denoms. Everybody focuses on what Jesus did, and that's awesome. We can't do it without him. But the Bible has so much to say about our part of the blood covenant. And most people just care about what Jesus did in the blood covenant. But that's like being married. Are you married, Gary?
Yeah.
That's like being married, and you only care about what your wife is doing in her covenant, making sure she's faithful and obeying you, and you're not worried about keeping your part of the covenant, loving her, providing for her, protecting her, being faithful to her. That's a lopsided covenant, isn't it, Gary?
Uh-huh.
So this is a big problem that we see in Church of Christ. It's one of the reasons we stand out.
That's the problem you see, because we absolutely do not believe that you're once saved, always saved.
Yeah, I know that. But even in the gospel that you guys preach, I've asked many Church of Christ men, and they usually tell me what Jesus did. And here's where I think you go terribly wrong. Your focus. This is why you're denomination-like. This is why you are. Do you do much witnessing, Gary?
What do you think I'm doing right now?
Well, okay. I mean, in the streets. In the streets. Do you do street ministry?
I talk to people all the time.
Okay, so do you know, have you ever met a Pentecostal person, like a UPC, United Pentecostal person? Do you know what their kind of focus and pet doctrine is?
Well, it's miraculous gifts, isn't it?
Pentecostals, you know, signs and wonders and tongue speaking, all that. But the UPC is really big on what two things. One, baptism in Jesus' name only. That's their big thing. And then a lot of them are modalists. They don't believe in the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They believe that in just one. They're modalists. And they focus on that aspect so much that they miss their part of the covenant. To repent and come out of all false ways. I'll cover repentance here. To repent is to change your mind, as you said, metanoia. Change your mind, change your ways. But nobody gives anybody details of what that means. It means come out of the world. The world is the system that Satan has set up. And I'll just help you if you don't understand what I mean by that. Sports, politics, entertainment, movies, most media, ungodly media. You and I are talking on media. We can use media for God's glory. I'm talking about carnal, fleshly, sinful, worldly, entertainment media. Fashion is part of the world. Churchianity is part of the world. If you don't repent and come out of the world, James 4 says, and you like the things of the world, which I gotta say, this is where that COC heretic Travis and I, I've never talked to him, we just emailed a little bit. He made fun that I call out competitive sports or any sports. And he said, oh, you're going to hell if you play sports. Well, the Bible says in James 4:4, to be fond of the world. Friendship means fond of. So if you watch the NFL and you like the football games and you think it's good, you're a friend of the world. You're entertaining yourself. You're fond of the world. The Bible says you're an enemy of God. So true repentance, and Travis does that. His children play carnal, covetous sports. That's not of God. The early saints didn't do it. No true child of God should be doing that. That's an idle waste of time. And so true repentance is coming out of the world, coming out of all false ways, which is churchianity, Catholic, Lutheran, evangelical. I'm going to say Church of Christ. And I can, have you seen any of my testings of the Church of Christ?
I've watched a little bit of stuff on your website.
Well, yeah, because you mentioned YouTube. Yeah. Oh, you followed Travis on YouTube. I don't post anything on YouTube anymore. Most everything goes on my website because I can control it. Facebook, YouTube, they all control you and they can throw you off. So everything goes on my website. But I have testings of the United Church of, or excuse me, of the Church of Christ. And they do not teach what I'm talking to you.
We're not the United Church of Christ.
I know that. I corrected. I said Church of Christ. They do not teach you to come out of the world. The last guy, not the last one, one of the Church of Christ, we stood out, their minister, who you expect would be an example. Two posts, by the way, means example. One of my brethren in Christ gave me the name Two Posts because they said I should be an example unto Christ. So that's my name. I got rid of my worldly legal name. And Two Posts, to be an example, their minister was promoting high school football and everything that goes with it to the youngster, saying it's the best time of your life. This is not of God, Gary. This is of the world. And men like Travis laugh at that. And that's why I call the COC a denomination, because so far, now you may be different. You're very small, 10 people. Maybe you're not, you probably don't even have a building, do you?
Nope, we rent.
Oh, okay, so these places that have big buildings and all this stuff and male phallic symbols on the roof, which is a steeple, are you aware of that?
Well, it depends on where you go.
Well, are you aware that a steeple...
We put a building up, but we had no cross on the building.
Well, not a cross. Do you know what a steeple is? Have you studied?
A steeple? Yeah, we never put no steeple.
Do you know where it comes from, the steeple?
See, we... See, what we do here is we just rent a community building.
I get it. I'm just going to the steeple. Do you know what the steeple means, Gary, where it came from?
No.
It's a male phallic symbol. Do you know what that is? We're both grown men. It's a penis.
Okay.
And it was in Egypt. The Roman Catholics stole it. It's in the middle of St. Peter's Square in Rome. And the evangelicals kept doing it. The Baptists kept doing it. Church of Christ kept doing it. It's a pagan male phallic symbol on their roof. And yeah. And the reason, this is abhorred. It's terrible. It's an abomination to God. But the building shouldn't even be the focus anyway, because they put up these brick temples made by men's hands. The last one we stood out was worth millions of dollars. God did not ordain we be putting up buildings. We are the body. We are the house of the Lord now. We don't need buildings. You don't need all that. But this is why I call the Church of Christ a denomination, because
you're labeling all of us.
No, you're not listening. I said you did. That's why I make audio, Gary. If you go back and listen to this audio, and I'll be happy to send it to you, it's unedited. I said you may be different. You only have 10 people. I said the Church of Christ that I know of, most all of them are in a good sized building. Most all of them focus on water baptism. Most all of them are worldly. Most all of them are into pride and vanity. Most all of them are into politics and patriotism. This is why you're like a denomination, or they're like a denomination, because they keep the ways of the world and they do it universally. So if you really want to be...
Here's the thing. No, the Amish, when you say the Amish, they don't want no part of the world. But for us to be out in the world, I was converted by... because I was a high school basketball coach. I hired an assistant, and he taught me the gospel. That's how I became a Christian.
Yeah, but hold on, Gary. Hold on. Just because you heard the gospel while playing basketball, what if I told you I heard the gospel when I was getting drunk in a bar? Does that mean I should promote getting drunk in a bar?
No.
Of course not, Gary. So that doesn't promote basketball. And by the way, Gary, how long have you been a born-again believer? First of all, how old are you, Gary? I'm 61, almost 62. How old are you?
I'm 71.
You're 71. How long have you been a born-again follower of the Most High?
40 years.
40 years. Okay. So in 40 years, I don't know how much you've studied, but I know I can boast in Christ. In the first year of following him, that was 16 years ago, in the first year of following him, I boast all the time about this. It was just me and my wife and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. In the first year of following Christ, you know what, Gary? And I have a website. You saw it. I got thousands of resources on there to the glory of God, all for free, by the way. I don't take people's money. We got to within 95% of sound doctrine that we preach today in the first year. We had a couple things we had to tweak. Our dress we had to tweak. There's a few other things, music we had to tweak. But within the first year, by becoming Bereans, studying, following the Spirit, following the Word, testing all things, we were 95% accurate. Gary, how is it possible that these Church of Christ places that I've been to, how is it possible that after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 100, 150 years of being a body, they don't know that they're supposed to come out of the world? They don't know that women in the Bible are supposed to cover their heads. They don't know that pride and vanity and makeup and jewelry is an abomination to God. How come they don't know this stuff, Gary, after decades and decades?
Well, it depends on what congregation you're at. Because you can't. They're all different on certain things.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what kind. You didn't answer the question. How can a Church of Christ be a body and established with men that are old men like me that have been believers for their whole life and they don't even have the basics down, which includes their focus on water baptism?
Where are you? Who are you worshiping with? What church are you worshiping? Are you worshiping with the body?
First of all, what is worship, Gary? You think you go somewhere to worship?
No, my wife and I had a house church for many years.
But do you think you're only worshiping God when you go to a house church service?
Well, we're supposed to not neglect the assembling, and we're supposed to meet on the first day of the week.
Right? First of all, let's cover that one. Sunday is the Lord's Day. There's another heresy you guys teach. Do you teach that, Gary, that Sunday is the Lord's Day?
Well, According to Acts 27, that's on the first day of the week they came together to break bread.
Where, what Bible verse? All it describes is they came together on the first day of the week. Where does it ever say in the Bible? I'm going to challenge you. You've been a Christian for 40 years. Where in the Bible does it ever say Sunday is the Lord's day? Enlighten me, Gary.
It said the Lord's day? I think John does in a Revelation. John talks about being in the Lord's day.
No, sir. He said, nope, that's not it, because I have a whole teaching on that. I have a teaching on Sunday's not the Lord's day. John is talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the trumpet and tribulation. He's not talking about Sunday in the Bible, including John, was always referred to as, what was it always referred to? You just said it.
First day of the week.
First day of the week. I hear your wife in the back. Is she coaching you? I hear her in the background. Sunday is
all. The first day of the week, Sunday?
Sunday is always called the first day of the week. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The day of the Lord, go read Joel, is in the last days. It's coming. And so, no, Sunday was several times in the New Testament. They met on the first day of the week. Do you know who made Sunday the new Sabbath? Do you know who did that? Not the Bible. Do you know who did that? How much have you studied, Gary? Do you know who did that? The Roman Catholics.
Was it one of the Caesars?
It was the Roman Catholics, yeah. The beginning, early popes.
The Roman Catholic is the first apostasy of the church.
Of course it is. They hated the Jews and the Saturday Sabbath, and they... Gary, look at the name. Sunday. Sunday. Who do you think they worshipped on Sunday? The sun gods. And that's where Christmas comes from. It's on the winter solstice. They put it on December 25th. It's where you get Easter sunrise services. It's a Passover from, excuse me, it's a fade over from pagan ways. Sunday is not the Lord's day. You guys love Acts 2. I have a question for you, Gary. You love Acts 2. Go read the bottom of Acts 2. What does it say? How often did they gather at the end of Acts 2, Gary?
They probably gathered every day.
Every day they gathered, Gary. They did not gather on one day. So the Church of Christ practicing Sunday is the Lord's day is a lie and heresy. It is not the Lord's day. Now, I want to be clear. You can gather any day of the week you want. I'm not a Sabbatarian. You can gather any day of the week you want. You can gather Friday, Thursday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday.
When did they take the communion in Acts 27?
But you can't, hold on, you can't call it the Lord's Day. It is not the Lord's Day. There was only one day of rest. It was Saturday.
Did they take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week?
Did they take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week?
Yeah.
Read the scripture you're referring to.
Acts 27.
Okay.
He waited in Troas.
Yep.
He knew they would come together, and that is in Acts 27.
Okay.
It says that he waited. He waited for that first day of the week. He knew that the Christians would come together, and it said that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread.
Yep.
Now that's the Lord's Supper.
Yep. Well, it can be the Lord's Supper. It could be, there's a big debate on that, but I'll give it to you. It could be the Lord's Supper. Hold on.
It's the same thing when they took a collection in 1 Corinthians
yep.
11:12.
Again, nowhere, Gary, nowhere does it teach Sunday's the Lord's Day. All it says, do you understand why they would have gathered on Sunday? The days of the week would have been busy in labor. Saturday was the Sabbath when people went to the synagogues or the temple, and you had Christians and Jews coming together talking about Jesus. When's the logical day, Gary, that would happen? If you worked all week and Saturday was the Sabbath still, and it was back then, when's the logical day you'd come together? Sunday. It's not the Lord's day.
What day was Pentecost on when the church started? What day was Pentecost on? What day did Jesus raise from the dead?
Jesus was not raised from the dead on Sunday. I knew you were going to bring that up.
What day was Pentecost?
It doesn't matter when Pentecost is. That moves all the time. Let's go back to what you just said.
Was that on a Sunday?
Let's just go back to what you just said. Jesus, you just said a lie. I love you, Gary, but you just said a lie. Jesus did not raise on Sunday. I'm going to put you through a math quiz. How many days I got articles on this too. I'm a teacher, not just a preacher. How many days did Jesus say he'd be in the grave?
Three.
And how many nights?
Three nights.
So do you guys believe? I don't even know, because Church of Christ, these... Wait.
Crucified on Thursday.
Hold on. All of these people in the Church of Christ tell me, well, we don't really celebrate Christmas and Easter, yet they bring Santa Claus in, and I hear all this talk about, well, we do Easter bunnies, we do this, so I don't even know. Church of Christ, they do not reject the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter. But let's go back to Jesus.
So first of all, what you said there, because, like I said, I've been a member of the Lord's Church for 30 years. We celebrate Easter, or the resurrection of Jesus, every first day of the week, because we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week.
And that's fine. You can do that, but I wouldn't call it Easter. That's actually a pagan name.
We don't call it Easter.
It was not the practice.
We don't celebrate Christmas.
It was not the practice, and it's not a biblical mandate to gather on Sunday. But let's go back to what you said. You said Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. That's a lie. Jesus said, I'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights.
Right.
Have you studied this out?
A little bit.
When did Jesus die?
I'd say he died on Thursday.
Impossible. You know why?
Why?
Because he said he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and a Thursday death doesn't match with the Saturday Sabbath that went on, and the timeline doesn't match up. Not even close. Jesus.
Well, I've got to look at what calendar they're going under. Are they going under Jewish calendar?
No, you don't even need that. You go read John 19. It tells us that there was a high Sabbath. Do you know what a high Sabbath is?
No.
A high Sabbath was a traditional Sabbath that fell during the week, not on Saturday. And if you do the math, our master's not a liar. 3 days, three nights, he'll be in the grave. John 19 says, the high Sabbath, and I have an article, it's very detailed, I have an article on this, look it up, Good Friday Exposed.
When did Jesus raise from the dead then?
Hold on. Jesus dies on Wednesday, the day before the high Sabbath. They wanted him off the cross, the stake. He didn't even die on a cross, he died on a stake. That word storos, cross means storos, means stake. He died on a wooden tree type object. He dies on Wednesday, and he's in the grave 3 days and three nights. He's in the grave Wednesday to Thursday night, Thursday to Friday night, that's two, Friday night to Saturday night, that's three nights. He's in the grave all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. He rises on Saturday, Gary. Do you know why he rises on Saturday?
Why?
He's our Sabbath rest. Go read the book of Hebrews. And so, all of you people that practice Sunday is the Lord's Day and say, well, the Lord rose that day. He did not rise on Sunday. That's a lie. Otherwise, you don't have a Savior, Gary, if you believe Jesus rose on Sunday.
Did the women have to wait until the Sabbath was over? They came there on a Sunday.
There was two Sabbaths. There was a Thursday and a Saturday. Go look at my article. When you go to don'tperish.com, go on my teaching blog.
What's your name again now?
Look on my teaching blog.
What's your name? What's your first name?
My name's Tupos.
Tupos, okay.
Go to the website, don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up Good Friday Exposed, and I lay that out. I actually prove in Scripture that there was two Sabbaths, and Jesus died on Wednesday.
I'm always willing to learn and talk. We can have a good civil.
Yeah. This is the thing, Gary. Your church system, the Church of Christ, is practicing false ways. You got to repent of that.
Left out when you talked about John 3, is he told Nicodemus he has to be born of the water and the Spirit.
Yeah.
It takes two things to be born again.
Yeah.
Water is baptism.
Yeah, that's, you know what, your whole water regeneration gospel, that's another whole deep topic that I'm not going to go into on the phone here today. If you wanted to set up another time, we could do that. But let me be clear. I do teach water baptism, but water baptism does not save you. It does not regenerate you. You don't get the Holy Spirit when you're water baptized, always. I can prove it. Go read Acts 10. Go read Acts 10. Cornelius does not meet your timeline of water baptism. Regeneration. Water regeneration baptism. Do you know where you get this from, Gary? You get this from the Roman Catholics. They're the ones that taught it.
We're not sprinkling babies.
No, but they taught it. They taught that. They taught the water regenerates you. That's what you teach. That's heresy, Gary. That's just not true.
Don't teach anything about the water regeneration.
Sure you do, sir. Sure you do. If you're Church of Christ, that's absolutely what you teach. That without water, you'll die. You'll perish. Gary, I have a question. What if a man confesses Christ and I witness to him? And he says, wow, I want Jesus. And he cries, I don't do sinner's prayers with people. That's unbiblical. He cries out to Jesus and he says, Lord, I want you. I'm going to follow you. And he crosses the street and gets hit by a milk truck, or he dies the next day in an accident. He was never water baptized. Is he going to gain eternal life, Gary?
Well, I can't go beyond what is written.
There you go. Yes.
These hypothetical cases, I believe God's providence works in people's lives. And God protects people and is intervening at different